The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, very pleasant. Good afternoon. Welcome. It is Thursday. More basketball tonight. The Sweet 16 has arrived, and we'll look ahead to some of those games as well. We'll get you caught up on anything you may have missed. Your phone calls, a number of guests. Let's start with some headlines, and we're talking football to start the headline. Will Anderson changed his life with his sophomore season. Can his game go even higher? Well, he's already considered the best player in college football, even better than the Heisman Trophy winner who's on his own team. So I don't know about that one. Other side, Eric Kesaw wants Tank Bigsby to be the foundation. Remember, Bigsby was on the verge of leaving. He stayed, and it's a good thing for the coach, Brian Harsin, that he stuck around. He is an outstanding player. Big shoes to fill at UGA. Linebackers have some tough acts. We're talking about maybe the best defense we've seen in this part, certainly at particular positions. The Dogs will still be the favorite in the East. Have you heard about Brian Kelly? Yeah, I think you have by now. He's discussing his relationship with Kayshon Boutte. He said, I know his name right now.
We're in the process of building a relationship. I know his last name right now. And I say that only because we're in that process of he's re-engaging. You know, he's been, you know, injured. He's had a second surgery, but we're getting more acquainted every day. Look, he's a great player. He's a good kid, but this has been a rough spot for him, and what happens is you tend to get distracted because you're not involved in everything. But he's learning you got to be involved in everything, whether you're injured or not. And that's a process that he's going through, and we're seeing some really good changes. We had a nice conversation in the training room this morning where he's on top of his academics, and he's making good progress. The good part about it is the surgery was successful. He's making good progress. He's in a walking boot right now. And that's really the most important thing. The rest of the stuff, we'll work it out between the two of us. I'm not that hard-headed. He's a good player.
And we're back. By the way, is it not to get tough on Brian Kelly already, but can you not drink the water before you start talking? Do you have to drink it in the middle of the sentence? Just a thought. We'll talk. Meanwhile, in SEC news, David Cutcliffe. I should have had the water anyway. Has been named special assistant to the commissioner for football relations. What does that mean? I have no earthly idea. But Cutcliffe has a SEC background. Of course, he went to the University of Alabama. He's from Birmingham. He coached under Philip Fulmer at Tennessee. He was the head coach at Ole Miss. His most recent stop was at Duke. And tonight, how about it? Got big time game. Gonzaga taking on Arkansas. You like the Hogs' chances? Well, if you do, you're in the minority. 86% like the Bulldogs to beat the Hogs. So that's where we are today on a Thursday afternoon. Your phone calls as well. Let's tell you about the guest list. Brody Miller on LSU. Hugh Freeze, he knows a little bit about Ole Miss as well. He's now at Liberty. He may have been – he recently coached Malik Willis. Lewis Riddick joins us. And Aaron Suttles from The Athletic. Let's get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
I'd like a straight answer. Was David Cutcliffe hired to take over your job?
Yes, he was. How did you know that?
I thought so. Can I take a second just to gloat for the ACC before tonight's games kick off? I mean, everyone predicted they were dead in the water, but we still showed that we are the basketball conference of America. So
let's continue with more calls. And Victor, if you want to gloat, call your own network. Victor is in Oklahoma. How are you, Victor?
Hello, sir. I'm doing real good. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. I'd like to ask one quick question. Calling you from Big 12 country where we only have 9 teams and collectively we're a bunch of pissed off fans, but that's beside the point. I'm telling you, my main question is, given Kentucky's departure from the tournament at the hands of St. Peter's, is it your opinion, if St. Peter's, let's say they go to the Final Four, is the head coach forgiven for this debacle?
No, Victor, no. It won't make a bit of difference. Kentucky does not measure itself against anyone. The devastating loss remains the same, whether St. Peter's loses this weekend or wins it all. It really doesn't make any difference. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Fred is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Fred.
Paul, this is Fred, your old Catholic guy buddy calling in. I want to tell you how Arkansas is going tonight, okay? In 1984, we played a team called North Carolina. They had players called Michael Jordan, Sam Perkins, Brad Daughtry, and Kenny Smith. No one gave us a prayer to win that game, but somehow little old Arkansas won that game. Tonight, the teams, what team we're going to play is not as good as that North Carolina team. Also, in 1994, we played a team called Duke for the national championship. We did okay in that one, too. So I feel good tonight about us, don't you?
I really don't. No, I don't feel good at all. And I don't know what 1984 has to do with today. Basketball is not about going back in history. This is about the matchup with Gonzaga, and nothing else.
Well, if you don't get any points for style, I agree. But we'll tough it out again tonight, okay?
Jim is up next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Does Kelly ever know when to just stop talking?
No, I mean, I first of all, the rumor out there is Boutte's leaving anyway. So why did he, make a big deal about the fact that I know his last name and he's had a hard time. You're supposed to try to prop the guy up, aren't you? You're supposed to make him feel better about LSU and not make him feel worse.
And he just kept going and going going.
If Boutte's listening to that, he's going, what's this guy talking about? I really agree. That was a very underwhelming clip from Brian Kelly there.
Right. And one more thing, Paul. You know, that Tennessee commit who got his teams down to five, I can't think of his name right off, but before he made his top five choices, the number was already out that Tennessee or NIL was going to pay him $8 million. Now, this kid isn't even the best quarterback in the 2023 class. He's the number four quarterback in the 2023 class. And so you already knew where he was going to go, even though that number was out there. Then he picked his top five. And I tell you what, and now you got Adidas doing what their program is doing. It's been said that Phil Knight wants a championship out in Oregon before he dies. I tell you what, the dude better start making some shoe deals or something, because Oregon's getting left behind in the NIL, and Phil Knight is getting left behind as well, Paul.
Thanks for the call, Jim. I'm really, really upset about that. I know everyone watching is as well. We will take a break. We have a lot of guests coming by here. We look forward to talking to you at 855-242-7285. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we've got some news from the Black Hat Division. Just kidding. That's Legend's call. So let's take a look at where we are in the Feinbaum caller bracket. We are down to the final four. Jim and Legend, I-Man and Squirrel, the two winners face off. Let's continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Mark is up next. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hi, how you doing, Paul?
Good afternoon.
I listened to your show through the Owensboro, Kentucky affiliate on ESPN Radio. I'm in Jasper, Indiana right now. Really like your work. When I was in college, I was fortunate enough to be a basketball manager for Gene Cady at Purdue.
Oh, wow.
And my question is, and this is purely a guess, if I had to probably say what was the best basketball conference in the nation this season, I would say the Big 12. But for years, and I can understand when people say the Big 10, you know, they get aggravated that they say the Big 10 is the best conference in the nation. But I think it's the last Big Ten champion for men's basketball, I think, was 2000 with Michigan State. Do you think that's right?
Off the top of my head, I think that is right, yes.
Okay.
Maryland may have won after that, but Maryland wasn't in the Big Ten at the time.
That was 2002. They beat Indiana.
Yeah, right.
In my opinion, I think the reason the Big Ten gets hyped so much is because aren't they in the largest media network in college sports that goes from Nebraska to the East Coast?
Well, the Big Ten is the Big Ten. It has a tremendous number of television sets in its domain. I thought during the regular season the Big Ten had the best league, but when it doesn't travel to the tournament, it gets forgotten about very quickly.
Okay. Well, exactly. Exactly. So, well, I appreciate you. And one other thing real quick, if I could. I heard Gene Cady was a finalist for the Naismith Hall of Fame. Have you heard if he's gotten in or anything
I
yet?
I haven't heard. Did I see that correctly, a picture of Cady and Bob Knight recently together? Did you see that?
Well, it's very possible they do because I heard they try to golf together once a month.
Yeah, no, it was just funny. Because as you know, these guys were mortal enemies back in the day. It was nice to see them together.
Well, can I tell you something, Paul?
Sure.
And this is I would only know this because I worked inside the program. Gene and Bobby were good friends for a lot of years.
Were they
and
really? That's interesting.
It was even said in one of Gene's books that the state media in Indiana wouldn't let be friends. Other than that, I don't think they have problems with each other.
No, you know what, Mark, you're right. I won't mention the person's name, but there were two very prominent figures in college athletics who were perceived to be the same way. And at one of their funerals, The other one came up to me and he said, let me tell you the real story. And we never hear that until it's too late, but I appreciate you sharing that. And that must have been a very interesting experience working with Coach Katy. Let's check out Matthew next in South Carolina. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, what's up, Paul Feinbaum? How you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say one thing and ask you a question. So I have a YouTube channel, Mayhem Matthew, and what are the odds of you checking that out?
Well, give me a preview before I head that direction. What am I going to see?
College football videos and crazy college football videos.
Well, I'll certainly try to, Matthew. How long have you been doing this?
Well, only for 3 months, but I want to make a name for myself eventually.
Well, tell me more about yourself in terms of your interest in the media.
Well, I'm a big-time Georgia Bulldog fan, born and raised in Augusta, Georgia.
Okay.
I just love sports in general. I love college basketball, and I'm in my bracket right now. I have 11 out of the 16 still left in my bracket. You think that would be pretty good, right?
Yeah. Well, Matthew, I think the key to, and I've never done a YouTube channel, but you know, I think the key to any content is to make it as compelling as possible.
Yes, sir, and I think I do have some serious and some very funny content that people should definitely check out. And I have UCLA winning the whole thing in the bracket challenge.
Okay, well, Matthew, all the best. Good luck. Keep us posted. Marshall is up next. Hey, Marshall.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for talking to me, and thanks for the great job you do.
Thank you.
I just got a comment. And I know you've heard this before, and it's nothing ugly, but I've got basketball in my blood. My mother would be 105 now if she hadn't passed, and she played basketball at Belmont. And her brother, Biggie Marshall, played basketball at University of Tennessee, and he remained friends with Ray Mears until he passed away. And I love the format. I love everything about UT sport, but dadgummit, I plan my life around the schedule to watch it on TV. I don't get down there much anymore. But the University of Tennessee, historically, will break your heart. And this group that Coach Rick Barnes had, I mean, tell you, there wasn't a better bunch of basketball, I didn't think. And I thought, you know, they just, I don't know. You help me out on that, please.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Marshall. They were a team you just couldn't help but love. And they met a terrible ending. By the way, speaking of Coach Mears, he was still the coach when I was a student. We became much closer after he retired, and I stayed in touch with him almost until his death. And just a man who, in my mind, and I'm sure you would agree, has never gotten the recognition as being one of the most innovative and great coaches in college basketball history.
I agree with that. And when my uncle died, lived out on the Chapman Highway where the burial was, Ray Mears came and sat beside my mother, and he was driving, you remember that orange Mercedes SL car he had?
Oh, yes, I do.
He drove that up there to that funeral.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned Coach Mears, because – you know, his career ended way too short, way too quickly.
Sure.
For those who don't remember, he had a couple of issues, and he went into a hospital and got them corrected. And he called me. There was an opening at Alabama one year. This was at least 15 years after, maybe I'm trying to get the dates right. It was about 16 years after he retired, and he had that very distinctive voice. And he called me day and he said, hey, let me ask you about that job down at Tuscaloosa. I said, yes, sir, coach. He said, what do you think about me for that? And I'm like going, I was like dumbfounded, because it was so long after he had retired. But he told me that he had never felt better. The medicine had helped to clear up some of the anxiety that he had. And I'm just so sorry that he never got another opportunity. to coach. Thanks for the call. Randy is up next. Randy, you are on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Paul. I want to ask you something. The next 5-10 years, do you think Florida Gator football and basketball team will their recruiting will be better?
Well, I think I could. I think the basketball program is definitely in good shape with Coach Golden. I think in football, it feels right. My friends down there, Buddy Martin, who is closer to it than I am, tells me the reaction to Napier has been phenomenal. But I just think there's a reluctance to jump in too quickly because we've all been burned before on Florida football coaches. Thanks for the call. We are heading to the break. We'll talk about Brian Kelly and the start he has made and the LSU basketball hire as well in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
In listening to Coach Kelly during the break there, talk about the changing culture of LSU football. We have heard that before. We'll talk about it now with Brody Miller of The Athletic. Brody, so great to have you back. So what's it been like with Brian Kelly in charge?
It's been different in some ways, absolutely. In terms of how the program's being run and whatnot, I do think it's kind of it's been a change in terms of maybe a little more accountability, a little more regimented, things like that. In terms of covering him, every week people are making a different joke about his dancing or how he talks. So that's been fun for me.
Let's talk about the personality stuff first, because he's come under, a moderate degree of criticism for some of the things that he's done, which to many are engaging. It's Brian Kelly not being the staid voice of Notre Dame that we've been so accustomed to seeing. How do you think that is playing among LSU people?
Yeah, I tend to, from the sense I've gotten, lean toward, the way you put it. I think he's being engaging. I think the best way to put it is he's leaning into it in a way that I think a lot of people at Notre Dame would tell you he didn't at all times, whether it be with recruiting or whether it be with just, being involved all the time and things like that. So, I think he's doing some things that are rubbing some people the wrong way because, like I said, he is holding some people accountable. Things are a little more regimented, things like that. Some players have left the program somewhat related to that already. But, I think in general, I think there's some tension at times. At the same time, I think there are a lot of people who actually are viewing this as a bit of a breath of fresh air. I think he, recruiting wise, we've talked to many recruits who are like, wow, he's much more personable than we were led to believe. I think that's a good example. And talking to staffers and whatnot the last few weeks, the theme has kind of been that he is I think that you just know what you're getting, I think is the best way to put it. He is direct. Yeah, he might be hard on people, but he is direct. He says, this is what I'm asking for, and he stays consistent with it. It's a very big theme I've gotten. It's, hey, this is what I'm communicating, and this is what I want. While I think, a lot of times in college football, people are kind of figuring out as they go, and that might change day to day. And I think that's something you saw in the last two LSU head coaches. And as you know, a lot of the staff members have been there through all of that. So I think a lot of people are kind of like, oh, he might be tough, but it's like, this is how it can be. So I think there's been pros and cons to it for sure.
Brody, I keep hearing commentators mention, weird fit, but, and I realize you haven't been around as long as some of us, but you go back 20 years, how is Nick Saban and Les Miles a better fit or different fit than this guy? The only guy who's ever really fit is the obvious, Ed Orgeron.
Yep. No, I couldn't agree more. Like, sure, is he a complete personality fit? No, but to your exact point, I don't think that matters. I think the question worth asking these first, few months or first year, is not even about personality fit. It's just, hey, is he down to be an SEC recruiter? Go up against the Kirby Smarts every week. Does he have the connections to recruit down south? All those things. Those are real questions about the fit that I think are valid. And I think he's off to a solid start there. But in terms of, fitting in with Louisiana, I'm with you. I think it's a little overblown. Nick Saban, yeah, nothing about him is inherently Louisiana. And you know, I think Brian Kelly's actually, again, to our theme earlier, I mean, there's a lot of political background in his life, right? I mean, I think he's pretty personable when he needs to be, and I think he's done that pretty well so far in Baton Rouge. So I do tend to think it's a little, you know, overblown. If he wins, they'll be happy.
Yeah, and you know, winning now takes great recruiting, and great recruiting takes money. And however that money flows into the system, NIL wise or elsewhere, how is LSU dealing with all that?
You know, and I have a story coming out some point, you know, in the next few weeks or month that kind of gets into. I think LSU. I think if you talk to certain people around the business world in Baton Rouge, would tell you in the recruiting world, they were kind of behind for a little bit. You know, I think going into December and January, a lot of schools had better, I don't know, systems, for lack of a better word, and NIL collectives and all these things that have been reported on so well that were a little more structured. And I think LSU kind of was, you know, some of the business owners and whatnot of the world hadn't quite stepped up, and there hadn't been those people really taking charge. And you know, I'm not going to get into specifics, but I think that's led to some players, you know, the missing out on some players leaving. And you know, I know one player we're going to discuss today is Kayshaun Boutte, and there were strong rumors of him leaving, you know, for a potentially rival Alabama in December and going into January. That was a thing, and I think it would be naive to think NIL was not a part of that. And then some local business owners did get very heavily involved in the last 3 months, you know, local attorneys, things like that. And Boutte did get a big deal, and several players, a lot of these transfers for sure, have gotten, you know, some of those NIL deals. So I do think LSU is playing catch up for sure in that department, but I do think they're at least on the right track, it seems.
Well, let's finish the conversation with Boutte, because we heard what you already heard yesterday or whenever it was with Brian Kelly talking about the Kabuki dance with Boutte. Where is that right now?
Yes, that was. I think it caught us all a little off guard how blunt he was, and just basically said things are tense. And yeah, I think there's the context, right? There's the context of the Alabama flirtation. Shoot, Boutte even said on a local podcast yesterday morning, just openly said, "Yeah, you know, I was kind of thinking about if I wanted to be here with the new staff and all that back in December and January." So I think that's kind of out in the open. Then you add in his surgery, then now needing a second surgery. And you know, that goes where sometimes you're kind of away from things, and that leads to attention. Then he has been, you know, he's admitted this. He's been very involved with NIL the last 2-3 months. And like, he even talked on that same podcast about how, yeah, he's realizing business is kind of full time. And that leads me to Kelly's comments, which were pretty openly saying, hey, he's learning you need to be involved. And just because you're injured doesn't mean you can't be involved in everything. And again, you know, the first things we were talking about, Kelly is running things a little bit more like a tight ship. He is, you know, having things more regimented, and that is rubbing some people the wrong way. And that's my long way of saying, I think those comments were quite talking about a mixture of, yeah, you know, I think Kelly wants him being involved in some things, and maybe he's not stepping up and being involved in everything. And I think that's something Kelly's trying to improve, you know, so far in his first year on the job, mixed with, you know, Boutte dealing with all these other things and having a tough time with the second surgery and, you know, being, you know, I think Kelly might have used the word distracted in there. And I think that's a fair thing there. So I don't think it's, you know, DEFCON 1 panic mode, like there's major issues, but it's something to watch and something very odd for, you know, as you know, a coach to just volunteer that tension.
Brody Miller with us talking about LSU football. Brody, if I could switch gears for a second, it's only been 2 weeks since Will Wade was fired, and already a new coach has arrived. Let's talk about the Wade fallout and what it could mean to LSU.
Yeah, I think most people around that program are fully prepared, quite frankly, for a multi-year postseason ban, maybe even as high as 3 years, which is very rare. They are prepared for, you know, pretty severe scholarship reductions and things like that. And shoot, for Scott Woodward to put that in Matt McMahon's new contract, even say you get an extension to those exact specific things are mentioned, even shows that they're ready for it, right? So LSU, I think, is prepared for basketball to take a hit and to be in the wilderness a little bit for the next few years. And I think their hope in all of this, in firing Wade and everything they're doing, is to hope to make sure football doesn't get hit as hard. So it's a long way of saying they kind of sacrifice basketball to save football, and they are prepared for that. So I think the Matt McMahon hire is, you know, a hire that I don't know if that's your normal Scott Woodward hire, right? You know that as well as I. He probably would have wanted a bigger fish if things were completely normal. But I do think Matt McMahon fits a little bit of what they need right now, because he's a program builder. He's an inside-out guy, you know? And I think what they need right now, and the comp I keep using, even though it is by no means a one-to-one comp, is Tom Crean replacing Kelvin Sampson after those sanctions, where you need a guy who is going to build, you know, an infrastructure, get the right guys, get guys who aren't going to be one and done, but say 3-4 years and learn the system, so that, say, come 2025, LSU does have a good, you know, infrastructure, I keep using that word, in place to compete and not necessarily bring in another, you know, Wade type who's trying to recruit 5 stars, because LSU's not getting that right now.
Yeah, Brody, one last question on that. How do you recruit, though, when the rumors are out there, and they're not just rumors, it looks like reality based on what you're saying, that your program effectively is going to be dead for the next couple of years, because if you can't go to postseason, it's hard to imagine a top-flight player wanting to play for you.
Absolutely, yeah. And we tried to ask Matt McMahon that yesterday, and, you know, understandably, he kind of had to evade anything even involving that. But he kind of said, he's like, this is LSU, and, you know, we're going to be able to recruit the best. And obviously, that might be a little naive. I tend to be with you. You are probably not going to land 5-star players. And I think the way you almost have to pivot right now is getting those 3-4 year guys that might not normally be your top tier recruits at LSU, but getting guys who have development traits and things that are going to stay 3-4 years. I personally, just my own speculation, think that's the route they need to go right now. But on the other hand, they could probably sell to, you know, to some players that, hey, you know, if you want to prove yourself for the NBA, you know, you're going to get playing time here, because a lot of guys are going to be leaving. So I think that's the inverse. Maybe that does help them, you know, in the portal, when it's like, hey, you might not be competing for a title, but you're going to be playing SEC basketball. I think that's the other chance, but I tend to think you have to go long-term here and not really recruit the highest level.
And Brody, you mentioned the football part of it. Where is the vulnerability for LSU football in this NCAA investigation?
Yeah, it's tricky. I think there's optimism within LSU that it will not be hit drastically further. They did do the postseason ban. They did do a kind of scholarship reduction, but it was a back end. It was on the 85, not the 25, so it was kind of fake. But still, they've done some things. And in the NOA, I think it was kind of notable how the NOA itself made multiple references to LSU football. You know, they did take responsibility for this. They did do the right thing after. They did punish themselves, all that. There is optimism that it won't be hit too much further. And you know, I believe we've talked before about the fact that the Vidal Alexander investigation was actually getting wrapped up right around that national title game. Things were about to be settled. And then when Odell Beckham kind of, that whole handing out cash thing happened, it kind of rubbed the NCAA the wrong way. And that's why it got looped in. So it's a long way of saying, I'm not sure football is going to get, you know, crushed here. I think there might be some punishments, nothing too severe, but again, it's the NCAA and I will not pretend I actually know what they're going to do.
Finally, Brody, what is next for Ed Orgeron? We see pictures of him on social media, but we don't really know much.
Yeah, I think Ed Orgeron right now is enjoying life, you know, living the spring break world and enjoying himself. And what he does next will be interesting. You know, I think he is looking for television jobs. I'm not sure if something's lined up yet that I have heard, but I think that is the route he is looking. But the real answer is, I think he's enjoying himself right now. He's got money and a national championship.
Indeed. Brody, thank you. It's great to have you on. Brody Miller joining us from The Athletic. He could do a TV show on spring break for MTV. We'll take a break. Good to have you on.
Well.
We're
Thanks,
back.
Paul. Take care.
You got it. Brody Miller joining us from The Athletic. We'll take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. What a great conversation with Brody. Let's get to the calls. And Ryan is up next. Hey, Ryan.
Hey. Ryan, are you there? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I've been trying to get into the show for a while, but, you know, it's pretty hard. But I just wanted to do a couple of things. My father used to call your show a long time ago, probably 99, 2000, 2001. Maybe you remember him. His name was John Hollifield. I don't know if he went by some kind of.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, he, you know, he'd always taught me, you know, because I was younger then. You know, I'm a big Bama fan. He's probably one of the biggest Bama fans I ever knew in my life. But very intelligent as well. And, you know, learned a lot of things from him. But I remember him always talking about your show. And I've been listening to your show about 3 years now. I love what you do. Love your content.
Thank you.
Get a lot of information through the show as well. So that's great you remember him. He passed away in 08. So, you know, he has some complications with some things, but he passed away. But
I'm so sorry to hear that.
That's awesome that you remember
him very well.
And another thing, while I'm in here, talk about a few of these callers like Legend and Kim and a few others. It's great what you got going on, man. I love this, you know, back and forth, the Georgia versus the Bama versus the LSU, you know, Cat Daddies and all of it. I just want to tell you, man, I love your show and I love the callers and I love everything about it. And hopefully next time when I call in, I'll have a little more content to go over with you. But it's so awesome to remember my dad. Paul.
Well, Ryan, thank you for calling. And again, so sorry to hear, but we remember him finally. And you call again anytime. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Let's check out Anita in Arkansas. Hello, Anita.
Hi, Paul. How about them Hogs?
They are ready to roll tonight.
Yes, sir. Win, lose, or draw, it'll be a great game. I was raised on the Eddie Sutton and the Triplets, so men's basketball and the Razorbacks are my first love. But I call to talk about the crazy good that ball that Coach Staley has going on over there in South Carolina.
Sure.
And it puzzles me. You know, last year we had the conflict over the swag bags, and this year there's, you know, been sort of an awareness over the lack of exposure for women's basketball. But tonight, you know, the Lady Gamecocks are playing at the same time as the Razorbacks. Fortunately, there's a DVR now. But how do we – what do you think we need to do to get more exposure for women's basketball? I mean, watching the Lady Gamecocks play is just – they're fun to watch. So,
well, they are. And I think it starts with the best player in the country and the best coach in the country, in my opinion. We had Dawn on yesterday, and we asked her about that. And Anita, there is more awareness this year for the women's tournament than I can ever remember, but it almost feels like it's a make good. Like everyone's saying we have to do more to make up for last year. The question I have, and I think Dawn brought this up, is, will this be sustainable? Is this a one-off? Is everybody on their best behavior this year because people are keeping score?
Yeah. I saw an interview with Sue Bird over the weekend, and watching her play, it's just mind-blowing that somebody is that skilled in basketball. And she talked about how different the WNBA is now compared to, you know, what it started out as. So I don't know. I would love to see more coverage and more awareness and, like you said, something that's sustainable for the women's basketball program because they're great athletes.
Thank you very much for the call. You take care of yourself. Trey is up next, also in Arkansas. Hello, Trey.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hi there.
I was wanting to know what you think about Arkansas and what you think we need to do. And also, I got another question after.
Well, I feel great about Coach Musselman. It's hard to find a more likable and engaging coach around. And I'm not overly confident tonight. That's just based on the reality of who they are playing. But this Arkansas team has been resilient all year long.
Yeah. And also, I got something for the A&M fans there. I'm sorry to say A&M fans, and I apologize in advance, Paul, because you're probably fixing to get an angry Texas man at me. you guys just ain't going to win the national championship this year. You guys have to understand that. And I think you're going to face it. Yeah, I think you're going to get mad whenever you walk out with the three losses or the four. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, but I think they make the Sugar Bowl this year.
Trey, thank you. Great to have you with us. Fantastic first hour. We're coming right back.